The title of the message is The Advantage of Stress. The Advantage of Stress. Would you please say that out loud? Say the advantage of stress. I want you to know that we all face stress in life, but there is an advantage. You're going to see today that there's an advantage even in stress. So the Bible says this in Psalm 118 and verse 5. And I'm going to read this first out of the New Living Translation. It says, in my distress. So in other words, in my stress. We all have had stress in our lives. You might be feeling stress today, have different pressure points in your life. In my distress, I prayed to the Lord, and the Lord answered me and set me free. Now, let me just say this as an aside. When the Lord sets you free, sometimes He sets you free from that stress, but sometimes the pressure points don't go away, but He sets you free on the inside. You get the breakthrough on the inside. You get the peace. You get the joy on the inside. And so this is what I really believe the psalmist is saying, is that He sets us free in that regard. In the NIV, it says it this way, when hard pressed. So we could talk about stress and we could talk about pressure as being the same thing. When you start feeling pressure in your life, when you start feeling different pressure points, could be financial, could be relational, could be in your job situation. The psalmist says this, when hard pressed, I cried to the Lord and He brought me into a spacious place. Isn't that a great way to phrase it? He sets you free, but He puts you into a spacious place. Now, I want to tie this verse, Psalm 118, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 8, because Paul talks about pressure. And in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 8, he says this, we are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Have you ever felt a lot of pressure? But the great news is you're still alive today. The great news is you're still ticking today. You're not crushed. We're hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair. I think that describes stress. Because when you start going through some different things in life or you start feeling different pressure points, you're perplexed sometimes. Said another way, you're doing everything right. Maybe you're tithing, you're giving, you're managing your finances, you're living within your means, and you're still facing some financial challenges. You might be a little perplexed today. You love the Lord. You're following Him. You're passionately in love with the Lord. You're consistent. You're faithful, but yet you still have trials and tribulations. So you're perplexed a little bit by that. This is the idea of being hard-pressed, but you're not crushed, perplexed, but you're not in despair. And if you're starting to feel it to the point where you find yourself going to a dark place or you find yourself starting to tumble down into a place of depression, this is your verse. You got to hold on to it and say, you know what? I might be pressed on every side, but I'm not crushed. I might be perplexed, but I'm not in despair. And so you hold on. You hold on to those verses. Someone say the advantage of stress. Please say that, the advantage of stress. So I want to define this for us. If we were to define stress, stress is a constraining force or an influence. It's, for example, it's a force exerted when one body part presses on, pulls on, or pushes against another body part. Have you ever felt stress in some of your joints? Have you ever felt stress in physically? It's also when one body part compresses or twists against another body part. We might say that you have a stress fracture. You might feel stress on your nerves and in your back. You might feel it going down your back or going down your leg. We can all identify with that a little bit. And then stress is simply this, a resulting state of being. Bodily or mental tension resulting from factors that tend to alter an existing equilibrium. So you might be walking in peace. You might have that sense of a good rhythm, of equilibrium. But then you start feeling the stress points. You start feeling the pressure points, and it upsets it just a little bit. Let me give you some examples of stress, how we would use the word stress in different sentences. Carrying a heavy backpack around all day puts a lot of stress on your shoulders and back. That would be physical stress. To reduce the amount of stress on your back, bend your knees when you lift something heavy. The ship's mast snapped under the stress of high winds. Here's another one. She is dealing with the stresses of working full-time and going to school. We're just trying to describe different pressure points in our life. He talked about the stresses and strains of owning a business. Hormones are released into the body in response to emotional stress. And another one, she uses relaxation as a way of reducing stress. So I think we can all identify with this idea of feeling stress in different ways. It can be physical, it can be emotional, it can be mental, it can even be spiritual, but this is stress defined. So let me read Psalm 118, verse 5 again in the New Living Translation. In my stress, in my distress, I prayed to the Lord, and the Lord answered me and set me free. So let me give you a few identifiers where you might feel the pressure points, where you might feel stress. And then I want to talk about the process that occurs in our life. And then I want to finish by talking about the advantage, that there's actually power in stress. If we can learn to harness these things, if we can really learn to respond in a biblical, in a spiritual way, in a healthy way, the stress doesn't have to tear you down. It can actually be leverage for you so that you can succeed. And that would be the advantage of stress. So the great news is this: with the Holy Spirit, with the principles of the Bible, of God's Word, it can actually be leveraged for you and give you an advantage. So let's talk about the problem. Three areas that you might feel it. The first one is people. You just might feel it in your relationships. You might feel it with a certain person that you're working. Or if you were brutally honest today, you might even be feeling it in your marriage. Or you might be feeling it with your kids. Or you might be feeling it with people that are close to you. First, I want you to know it's not unusual to feel stress points when it comes to relationships. You're pretty normal if you're feeling that. The key is, how do you respond to that? The key is, how do you manage those stress points? So the first one is people. And the Bible says this in Ephesians 4:32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Now that's a pretty tall order, that I would be kind and compassionate. Not always easy if you have a boss that's breathing down your neck. Not always easy if you have a boss that's trying to get you to produce a certain quota. Not always easy if you're sitting next to somebody at work and they have the exact opposite personality that you have. They laugh at the things you don't laugh at. They do the things that you don't. And it's this incredible pressure point or stress that you're feeling in relationships. And yet the Lord says, hey, be kind and compassionate to that person. Not always easy to do, but we all deal with people problems. We all deal with the stress of people. So we can feel it in relationships. We can feel it with the people even that we're closest to. Sometimes the very people that you love the most, that you are the closest to, you feel the pressure points in those relationships. The second pressure point that I just want to highlight today is that of possessions. Because I think that when it comes to finances, that can really be a big pressure point because it takes money. It takes money to live life. We all feel that pressure point. Well, listen to 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verses 6 to 8. Paul says this, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. If we were to take a survey here this morning, I doubt most of us would admit that we're just content with food and clothing. And I don't in any way want to diminish your vision, because God wants you to have big vision. He wants you to, to reach for more. He wants you to dream. He wants to bless you so you can be a blessing to other people. But how many people know that life, if we could get to this place where we are just content, in other words, stuff doesn't own us, that we're not materialistic. Man, there's freedom in that. And so Paul challenges us. This is in the context of finances. He wants us to be blessed. There are many other passages about that. There are passages about you pursuing your dreams and your vision. But if we could get to this place where, wow, we have great contentment. In other words, we are completely at peace whether we have a lot or whether we have little, because God is still on the throne. Say amen to that. And that's a journey, right? That's a journey. That's a relationship with the Lord, that God wants us to have absolute confidence and surrender and peace in Him, that if things are going great, we're never going to forget Him. We're always going to be thankful. He's number one. But if we don't have much, He's still number one, and we're going to stay in faith that we might be going through something, but God's still on the throne. Amen, church? And so you might be here today, and you feel the pressure point of people, but you might feel the pressure point when it comes to possessions, when it comes to finances. The third pressure point that I want to bring to you today is that of performance, where you might feel like you're just not measuring up as well as you would like to. Now, this next verse, we all have memorized, most of us do, Romans 3 and verse 23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." But I want to underscore this idea that we fall short. We fall short. Every one of us here today, we have fallen short. We've fallen short of the glory of God. But I don't know about you, but oftentimes I feel like I'm falling short. I'm not succeeding the way I would like to succeed. I'm falling short, maybe in the things that I want to do. We all that sense. It's this idea of, are we performing? Are we producing? Are we accomplishing the way we want to, or that we feel like even God wants us to? And so we feel this sense of falling short. My brother and sister, that creates a lot of pressure points in our life. If you talk to somebody, or maybe you've been in this situation where you have gone without employment for long periods of time, tremendous amount of stress. Maybe because you can't provide for your family, can't provide for yourself, but tremendous amount of stress. And it even erodes and deteriorates your identity and your confidence. Talk to a man who's having trouble holding down a job, or has moved from job to job, or has been unemployed for a long time. His self-confidence, who he feels he is as a person, as a man, deteriorates. And so that creates incredible stress. I've seen this again and again, where then it affects his marriage and it affects his parenting. So this can be tremendous amount of pressure point where you feel like you're falling short. It might just be in your relationships. It might be that you just don't feel like you're that good of a dad, or that good of a mom, or that good of a husband, or that good of a wife. You might really feel that. You might feel like you're falling short. And this creates pressure points in our life. Now, I say that we feel this when it comes to people, when it comes to possessions, when it comes to our performance. If we could just learn to identify these areas and then go to the Lord. The promise is, if you go to the Lord with your distress, He's going to bring you into wide open places. You go to the Lord with your distress. He's going to bring peace. He's going to bring strength. But you have to see it that way. Because if we don't recognize those pressure points, here's what I've discovered. If I don't recognize those pressure points, then when I'm being pushed in one area, I react, or I act out in a different area. And I think we could all identify with that. You have a bad day at work, you come home, you take it out on your family. Unfortunately, we all do that. But if we could really begin to recognize that, and instead of taking it out on the people that we love the most, we go to the Lord, if we decompress in the Lord, we pour out our heart in the Lord, then He is going to give us the peace and the strength to be able to, like we read in Ephesians 4, to be kind and compassionate, instead of being unkind and taking it out on the people that we love the most. Can you say amen to that, church? And so I want to talk to you, and you can think of more, but we identify people, we identify financial possessions, and we identify performance. You could probably think of some more, but I want to talk to you in just identifying those three areas, and you could think of more, but then if God wants to turn this for us where stress is not a disadvantage, but it's an advantage in our life, that we have the right spiritual and biblical perspective on the things that we're going through. If he wants to turn that, then I would submit to you there's a process involved. And so there's a problem in stress, but secondly, I would say there's a process in stress. And let me give you a few illustrations that I think might help us. I don't know if you're familiar with how pearls are made. A pearl's valuable. Let me say it that way. We all know that pearls are valuable. But here's how a pearl is formed. It's formed out of pain. And so an oyster gets this little piece of sand, or gets this little irritant grain, or maybe some bacteria in its shell. And what it does is it creates a coating over that place of pain, and out of the place of pain, it creates a pearl. And what an incredible visual for our lives, that you've got some stress points. You've got some irritants in your life. Maybe there's some bacteria in your life. But as that is covered over with God's grace, with God's mercy, with God's love, he takes the most painful places and makes them pearls. Isn't that powerful? So listen to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 11. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. So you might be in a place of pain today. You might be in a place where you're feeling a lot of pressure, but as God's love, as his grace pours over that place of irritant, or that bacteria, it creates this beautiful pearl. So your pain creates a pearl. The second thing is pressure. Okay, so there's pressure. So here's a pearl that had a place of irritant, and it becomes a pearl. The second one is pressure, and I want to talk about diamonds. How are diamonds? Diamonds are one of the most valuable stones. In fact, the diamond industry, if I remember right, it's a $9 billion industry. So diamonds, how are diamonds formed? Diamonds are formed by high temperatures. In fact, they say 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit has to happen for a diamond to be formed. So in diamond mines, they just go to the depths of the earth. They have to go down about 90 miles below the depth of the surface. Can you imagine? And so that's where they go to get the diamonds, because that's where they're formed, and there's about 2,000 degrees of Fahrenheit. So a diamond is formed under great pressure, under a lot of heat. So you might be here today and you feel like, man, I have a lot of pressure in my life. There's a lot of heat going on in my life. I want you to know God's making a diamond out of you, right? So if you have an irritant in your life, pearls. If you have a lot of pressure, diamonds. God's in the process of doing something. He's taking pain and he's making pearls out of that. He's taking pressure and he's making diamonds out of that. Listen to 2 Corinthians 1, verses 8 and 9. We don't want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experience in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life, even life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. So when you start going through pressure, God puts you in this place where you can't rely on your own strength. You can't rely necessarily on other people, but you rely completely on God's love, on his strength. And so he takes the pressure and he makes a diamond. So if you're feeling irritation, he's making a pearl. If you're feeling pressure, he's making a diamond. The third picture that I just want to give to you is this idea of pruning. Pruning. If you look at a tree, like a fruit tree, what pruning does is they remove certain parts of the plant in order to cause growth for that tree. So this next picture shows you how pruning takes place, because there's a progression. Go ahead and put it up, the next picture. This is remarkable that before it needs to be pruned, afterwards it's almost cut back to nothing. Have you ever done this with one of your bushes or trees? I had a tree one time that I cut it back. I thought for sure I killed it. I thought it was going to die. Next thing I knew, it came back just like that third picture on the right. When you prune something, it feels like you're cutting back. You feel like you're losing everything. But God's actually pruning you so that you'll be more fruitful in your life. And that could be a strong word for some of you today. You might feel like you're being pruned back financially, or you might feel like things are being withdrawn from your life. It actually could be God pruning so that you'll be even more fruitful in your life. And so Jesus said it this way in John 15, 1 and 2. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will even be more fruitful. So if you're being pruned, it's because you have fruit in your life. He doesn't even keep the fruit that he doesn't even keep the trees that, or the branches that aren't bearing fruit. So if you're bearing fruit, then he is going to prune you. He will cut you back at times. So if you feel like you're being cut back, if you feel like you're being pruned spiritually, realize that there's a process. God is doing something. So these three pictures, I think, really help us. One, that if there's a place of irritation, that stress point, God's making a pearl in your life. If you're feeling tremendous pressure, a lot of heat, he's making a diamond in your life. If you feel like there's pruning, that he's reducing you, cutting you back in certain ways, that could be in any arena. But what is he doing? He's pruning you back so that you'll be even more fruitful. You're not going to die. Say amen to that. He hasn't forgotten you. Say amen to that. He's just pruning you back so that you'll be more fruitful. So I find these pictures very, very helpful in my life when I'm going through pressure points. Now, what's the power of it then? What's the power of stress? How can we begin to look at this differently? The first one is the power of perspective. So whatever you're going through today, whatever pressure points, you've got to have the right perspective. You've got to see this the way God wants you to see it. Listen to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So Jesus says us that we're not supposed to worry. That's easier said than done. Listen to one study. One study showed the percentages of worry that people had. This is remarkable. 40% of the things that you worry about will actually never happen. It's amazing. We worry about so many things. We need the right perspective. 40% of the stuff you worry about probably is not going to happen. 30% of the things that you worry about are already done. Anybody gone through that where you just replay things in your mind? You regret. We worry about what we said. How are the people going to respond to those things? 12% of our worry is on needless concern about health. You start getting a little ache and a pain. You hear something on the news. Your doctor says something to you. You start worrying. 12% of your worries are on needless concerns about health. 10% are on petty or miscellaneous cares. And then 8% of your worry is actually legitimate. 8% are real and legitimate. Think about that. That means that 92% of the stuff that we worry about are probably not that real or legitimate. And I'm not trying to minimize your worry at all, because I think that, you know, some of the things that you think about are very valid. I'm just telling you what Jesus said. He said, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will take care of itself. And so it's just this idea of perspective. That's why in the verse before, when he says not to worry about it, in Matthew 6:33, he says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And in the context, he's talking about having enough money for clothes and food, etc. He says, if you'll seek first the kingdom, if you'll put the Lord first in your life, one, he'll give you peace, but then, yeah, he's going to provide for you as well. And so he's challenging us not to worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow has enough worry for itself. And so we need to have perspective. Please say perspective. Yeah. When you start feeling the pressure points in your life, start taking a step back and say, God, I want to see this the way you're seeing it. And as I've gotten older in my life, I've started to realize, there are a lot of things that when you're going through something, when you're younger, you feel like that's going to last forever. And then you realize as you get older, no, I made it through a few things and I'm going to make it through this one as well. That's perspective. That is perspective. The second thing is the power of patience. So God wants to give you perspective, but he wants to give you patience. Listen to James 1, 2 to 4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So the Lord's in the process of maturing you. He's in the process of completing you. And so God wants to give you not only a perspective, but he wants to give you patience. And that comes by the Holy Spirit, where he gives you grace and patience to endure things. You know what can help you if you have patience? Is because you realize that there's a finished product. If you're going to run a marathon, you realize that as you train for that, as you endure, there is a finish line. And I'm here to declare to you today that some of the things that you're going through, you might be really feeling it, but there is a finish line. God wants to bring you through that so that you'll be mature and complete. Make you into the person that he wants you to be. Make you more Christ-like so that you'll have more maturity in the ministry process. And so patience, God wants to give you perspective. Say perspective, but he wants to give you patience. Say patience, say patience. And the third power aspect is the power of planning. So God wants to give you perspective. He wants to give you patience, but he wants you to plan. There's power in planning. If you're going through a very difficult time today, you can plan. You can plan. You can plan your way through a situation. Proverbs 21 and verse 5 says this, "The plans of the diligent lead to profit, as surely as haste leads to poverty." So the plans of the diligent. Let's say you're having a financial crisis today. As you pray about that, as you get the biblical perspective on your finances, as you have patience, but if you get a plan and you are diligent at that, I prophesy to you, I declare to you, I'm going to encourage you today that God is going to pull you through that because he will get in on your plans. He'll get in on you paying down debt. He'll get in on you living with your means. He'll get in on you sowing seed and giving to the kingdom of God. The Holy Spirit will back that, and your plans will be leading you to profit if you'll just be diligent in them. Say amen to that. And so if you're feeling pressure points today, ask the Lord for perspective. Ask the Lord for strength, for patience. And then ask the Lord to help you plan, to help you plan, to mitigate the situations. You know, if you're here today and you got to get up and go to work tomorrow and it is not your favorite job and some of the people that you're facing or the pressure points that you're facing, listen, God wants to give you perspective. He wants to give you patience, but he'll also give you a plan, a plan. Some of you, you need to view your jobs a little more like your ministry. Not just where you pick up your paycheck. Think about your job. Your job, you spend at least 8 hours a day, probably more, in your job situation. And yes, you're providing a service perhaps. Yes, you're being compensated for your work and you're receiving finances for that. All of that is very, very valid. But maybe the Lord has you there to let your light shine. That's a good word. In other words, you spend a lot of time. So how does he want you to let your light shine? Could it be that the most irritating person that you know at work is actually there for you to extend your love to? Could it be that the people, your customers and your clients that maybe just drive you crazy, but could it be that God just wants you to let your light shine, that you're supposed to make an impact there? This is the plan. This is the perspective that God wants for you to have. Now, I do believe this, that it might be the most irritating place, but if you'll be patient, you'll become mature and complete, And if you pray and get a plan, God will promote you to a place where you can really enjoy life. Say amen to that. But then I also have some news for you. Once you're enjoying, there'll be another place of irritation, because that's life. Come on, look to your neighbor and say, that's just life. And the sooner that we understand that, the sooner that we realize that, the sooner we're going to get peace and we're going to get joy in a situation where we can keep our eyes on the Lord. Can you say amen to that? So let me conclude with this. How is stress your leverage? How is stress an advantage? See, stress doesn't have to be a disadvantage. It can be an advantage. And so when we talk about stress as leverage, what it means is applying force or pressure to something. So like the lever, or think about a crowbar. A crowbar can move something that's bigger than itself. So when you think about stress, think about it as an advantage, that the stress point, not only is God making pearls, not only is He making diamonds, not only is He pruning back, but when that stress point that could be the slightest irritation in your life, that becomes a lever to move something bigger in your life. And so we'll often talk about financial leverage that maybe a company will have, whether it's the way they leverage debt or the way they leverage their assets. Something that might appear smaller, but they're moving something bigger. Well, it's the same thing when it comes to moving big objects. If you're going to move a big rock, think about this. If you just take a stick or a pole, you can leverage that pole and it can move that boulder. That's the advantage of stress. And so if we could view it that way, that God is even using these little things in our life to do something bigger, to move something bigger in our life. So I'm just here to declare great news to you today. Whatever pressure points you're feeling, there's an advantage to this, because God sees the big picture. He sees the beginning and the end. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. He sees it all. And so He's going to bring you through this and leverage this for your advantage. God's in the business of comebacks. God's in the business of recuperation. God's in the business of redemption, where He can even use these things in order to do something bigger in your life. Say amen to that. Someone say the advantage of stress. The advantage of stress. Amen? Let's stand to our feet. Let's stand to our feet.